This podcast is supported by The Real Real.
You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail?
Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances. Plus, up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Welcome back to Solo Spotlight, the show where we sit down with people chasing purpose and proving what's possible. Today's guest is a little different. Joey Stoneberg isn't just a guest. He's stepping into the host chair himself. Over the past month, you've heard him tell raw, unfiltered stories on his new series, Prime Joe Time, which now officially lives under the Spare Bedroom Studios banner. Joey's show is about what it takes to rebuild your life, physically, mentally, and morally. His first episode was a full-throttle origin story, growing up in Huntsville, fighting addiction, landing in corrections, and learning what rock bottom actually feels like to him. In episode 2, he sat down with his friend, David Boyd, to talk about parenting, a child with autism, alternate treatments, and the resilience that comes from refusing to accept there's nothing you can do. In episode 3, we took it even deeper, exploring faith, purpose with Jared McComb, former light heavyweight champion of Unified MMA. Today, Joey's on Solo Spotlight, not just to share his story, but to pull the curtain back on his new show, what inspired it, where it's headed, and why he believes real conversations still matter. It's a look into how one man turned his scars into a microphone and found a way to build something to help other people feel seen. So whether you follow Joey's journey from his first upload, or you're just meeting him now, stick around. This episode's got that mix of honesty, grit, and purpose that defines everything we're building here at Spare Bedroom Studios. I'm Ryan McDougall, this is Solo Spotlight, and today we're turning the spotlight on one of our own.
Welcome to Spare Bedroom Studios, where big sounds are born in small rooms.
Welcome, everybody. Another episode of Solo Spotlight. I'm here with a good friend and colleague of mine, Joey Stoneberg. I've known you for a while, but we've never had to really got the chance to sit down and have a conversation. So I'm very grateful for you coming out today and sitting down with me.
Thanks, Ryan. I appreciate you having me here to start off. This has been a really cool experience so far.
Yeah. We kind of been chopping it up for the last hour, so yeah, man, it's a wild ride. You're looking at getting into the podcasting world for the second time. We're kind of just shooting the shit. I'm kind of giving you the feel of how things are going, as well as just to bring you on, share your story, and hopefully people can learn more about you at the end of this episode, and hopefully it allows a little bit of a springboard for you to be starting your own thing. So I'm really happy that you're doing it. I'm proud of you for taking the step again. I know how hard it is to get in front of the camera and do something like this, so good for you.
Well, thanks, man. Yeah, like you said, this will be my second attempt. The first one didn't go so well. I think we had about 10 episodes filmed, and a lot of them were taken off at the time. This was during COVID, and I was very critical of the government and COVID and the Bill C-21. That was a gun ban that came out, and they kept removing my content for misinformation, which was kind of shitty. But
and what did they? Did anybody ever, like, from YouTube get in contact with you and say, like, hey, you need to stop doing this? Or was
To touch on that, it was actually a friend of mine. He was actually the brains behind the operation. He handled everything. I just showed up and just basically talk. And occasionally get intoxicated. Not in my finest moments, but it was still a lot of fun.
So. Yeah, it happens, man. I think people, they get lost in the moment. I think that's just like a general thing that happens with everybody. People just get lost in the moment, and then looking back, you're like, that wasn't a good look. But it's as shitty as it felt prior. It's like it's more humbling now to look back and be like, well, I kind of dug myself out of that. And it looks like you know, from our conversations before this and, you know, throughout us knowing each other, you've definitely took the right steps to put yourself in a good, like, mindset, change some habits and approaches to certain things like substances and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. So it's just a testament to where you can go, right? Yeah. It people like to lament and mull and be like, oh, life's so shitty and this is shitty and everybody's fucking me over. It's like, yeah, and that's probably going to continue to happen.
Yeah, Will, the first step you need to take, you need to go look in the mirror, and it's called accountability. No one else is responsible for what I do but me. I'm the one who decides to put something in my body. Like, for many years, I was abusing steroids and alcohol.
Right.
I decided it was time for change. What can I do? Who can I surround myself with to change? And I wanted to do it. I want to be a better person, and I felt that I was actually sabotaging my own life.
Would you say, like, in that time you had a level of self-awareness?
I would say no. I was pretty oblivious how I was treating others. How, like, it was not a good look. It was pretty ugly, to be honest. But I'm pretty proud of where I am today. A lot of steps. I never read a book and finished a book in my whole life until I was about 26.
Right.
You know, so that a lot of learning came, a lot of self-teaching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what was that process look like when you finally decided that, this isn't really the route I want to go to? Again, you talk about accountability, but what other, like, factors came in place? Like, did you go see someone? Did you start working out more? Did you have to take yourself away from, like, public, you know, gatherings? Like, where did that roadmap?
I'd say there's a little bit of A, B, and C. Well, I had to remove myself from certain situations or triggers. I was like, you know, I probably shouldn't go there because there might be alcohol for the first little bit. I have no problem going out now if you're having a few drinks. I can have a beer or whatever and have a great time. I decided for myself I need to change. And what actually led to the issues to begin with was when I first moved to Alberta, I came from Ontario. I got really big into the bodybuilding when I was pretty young. I started working out when I was 12 years old.
Right.
And I got really into this. Like, it's all I thought about. I wouldn't drink, nothing. After a few years of living here, I injured my back pretty bad in the gym. I did a... So if you tally it up, it'd be 545 plates, a 45-pound bar, and 210s on each side. I think that's 505 pounds, roughly.
Mm-hmm.
I was squatting. I heard my back pop. And me being me, I went and I thought I was fine. I went home, woke up, and I actually was like,
yeah, like
leaning. And then I found out, I continued to try to work out. It wasn't working anymore. I had herniated disc in my back, and it led to a lot of pain and issues. So at that point in time, I had actually started dating a lady who I'd met at my job and developed an alcohol problem. We were drinking every night. I probably shouldn't talk about what she, other people have done, but like illegal activities going on. Like
Of course.
Involving vehicles and driving. And
but not, yeah, it was a toxic relationship nonetheless.
Yeah. So I decided, like, we end up separating, but the alcohol remained.
Yeah.
And then I would go out and humiliate myself at events and damage property. Just the amount of drinking was so excessive.
Mm-hmm.
It made me feel terrible.
What do you think? Like, because for me, it was kind of the same. I want to say same thing, but it was, I needed to find out, like, what was the driving factor here? Like, was it the wanting to be accepted? Was it I was, like, obsessing about things? Because for me, like, I have a hard time, like, governing myself with certain things. When you talk about booze or smoking pot or, like, I barely do much of that now. Like, I'm on a big non-alcoholic beer kick or, like, a couple beers here and there. But, like, can't smoke weed anymore. Because it's a lifestyle thing, but it's also one of those things where if I get into anything, it just becomes, like, an obsessive mess, and then I don't know. And maybe being, like, addicted to, like, the attention or the drama or, like, the, you know, I think that was also a thing, too, where I'd do some, like, fucked up shit, and it was, like, I didn't know or had the self-awareness that, like, oh, I was just trying to, like, get people to pay attention to me in some way, or, like, I felt like I was trying to prove something.
You know what? I see your point here. It's kind of like, what's that old saying? Any publicity is good publicity. So here I am, I'm the center of attention. Everybody has to care about me. I'm getting, maybe it's the attention I didn't receive from somebody else. And I do understand that. And it also came from self-love. I felt like I didn't love myself anymore. I had a lengthy relationship with someone, and I had actually attempted a suicide of jumping out of a vehicle on a highway and moving in a truck on the Hyundai. And a really good friend of mine actually saved my life, and I still thank him to this day. I don't want to say his name on the air just for his respect of him, but he knows who he is, and he's like a brother to me, and he's a really good person. And it was a big wake-up call for me. And then when we got home the next day, I'd still been dealing with this back injury that was lagging. I was not going to the gym anymore. And the gym for me was my identity. Like, I may not look it now, but at one point I was pretty large. I was pushing over, I was 238 pounds at one point, and obviously using anabolics.
Juice to the gills.
Yeah, and mentally, I think that contributed to the attempt. I'm not going to knock anyone who uses substances. That's up to you. You want to put the, I think if you're using it correctly, health is fantastic. You're being monitored by a doctor. You have low testosterone. Go for it.
Yeah.
For me personally, I have not used them since about, I was like 23 or 24. I decided to cut her off. But he told me when we got home, he came into my room and had a heart to heart with me. And he said, you know, a lot of people care about you. How would your mother feel? How would your father feel? Look how you made me feel. People care about you. He's like, what you need to do now is get off those drugs that you're doing. He's like, clean your life up. He's like, you need to stop this nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a talk I needed to have. And so at that point, I discontinued use. And then I ended up going to the doctor because I was having lots of side effects. Like, I'd be sitting in my room and just start crying for no reason.
Oh, yeah. Your hormones are just fucked.
Oh, they were all whacked out all over the place. And I found out I had the test levels of like a young girl.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit. Like, what is happening to me? Like, some embarrassing moments. Like, I'd bring a date home from the bar and, you know,
can't get a woody.
There's no wood in anywhere. Like, the supply of the lumber shop is out, and it's extremely embarrassing. The girl started crying. Like, oh, it must be me. I'm like, trust me, it's me. Like,
and you get into that position too where so many, like, negative things happen where it's just easy to run with that than it is to address any of it. It's like, well, where do I start? The steroids, the drinking, the mental health, the this, the that. It's like, yo, fuck that. I'll just drink again. Like, because it's just easy. It's just easy to cope. It's cope. That's what it is, right? And it's hard because accepting any of it, you kind of, it opens up the door to dealing with all of it. And, like, it's a challenging thing, especially if you kind of, you know, put that under for a long time to then address it later. It's like you're rehashing years of your life.
right? 100%. You're pushing feelings down. You're not dealing with things. Like, it actually, so the first step was stopping the steroids. I didn't stop drinking. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest here. Like, that continued for many years on, probably. I didn't stop drinking until about a year before I met my wife.
Right.
So I'd be about near 26 years old at this point. And then at that point, I had realized, I was like, you know, this is becoming a problem. Like, I'm making $100,000 a year here.
Yeah.
Why do I have nothing to show for it? All I had was a truck.
Yeah.
$130,000 in debt.
Mm-hmm.
And that would also lead to me, like, with this stress, like college debt I had, the vehicle, I'd maxed out some credit cards.
Yeah, you just can't win. Now, before you were taking steroids, do you think you had like a predisposition to like having negative side effects? Because some people, I remember when I got on gear my first time and I was at home, and people would tell me like, are you an angry person? No. Okay, well, if you are, steroids is just going to make you angrier. Are you an emotional person? Oh, well, steroids is just going to enhance it, right? So you really have to, whatever you are emotionally, if you abuse it, it's just going to double down. And now you're just going to be doubly shitty at whatever trait that you had. Like, the recovery, great. The fucking stamina, great.
Yeah.
Like, all of that shit, great. But it's like, if you have, like, a predisposition to, like,
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail? Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
Since abuse or like being very reactive, it's like, well, this ain't gonna help.
Oh yeah, you're bang on. It's like the old saying, I had an individual I knew at the gym. So if you're an asshole off this substance, you become an even bigger asshole. Mm-hmm. Like me, I'm a pretty easygoing, nice person. I like to think I am.
Right.
I'm pretty emotional though. So like I'm fine until like something happens to me and I take things personally. I'm like, I internalize a lot. Mm-hmm. And I really care about what people think about me.
Right.
That's been hard to deal with. So I think you were bang on there with what you said.
Yeah.
It definitely amplifies who you are.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a nice person, you will be a nice person still. But if you're like, one thing it did do to me though, it gave me a bit of an ego that I didn't really have.
Yeah.
Like I'd walk around and just be like, ooh, cause I look good. I'm better than that person.
Yeah.
I'm not saying everybody's like this, but it did happen. And like, it feel good, look good, feel good. And like the old saying, why be Clark Kent when I can be Superman?
Yeah.
Like,
and it's self-soothing, right? Like you're always trying to, like, soothe yourself in a way. Like, if people have, like, this, problem with, like, identifying, like, good in yourself or seeing yourself as, like, a reputable person or whatever it is, or have these, like, inklings that you're not, like, living to the standard or, like, you're having, like, imposter syndrome, doing stuff like that is almost a way of just, like, accepting, oh, okay, like, I just feel good to like be here. And then on the outside looking in, people are like, this guy's an asshole. But you're like, I'm just trying to get from one day to the next guy. Like, oh, yeah. You know, and it's hard because I think looking like when you look back now, it's now that you're able to have the like introspectiveness and self-awareness. Because I tell people all the time, I didn't grow up till like the last 3 years. Like I was a fucking idiot for like well into like 27, 28, right? Where I just like couldn't figure it out. And then it was so shambles where you're just like, dude, where am I going here?
Well, how old are you now, Ryan?
I'm 30.
You're 30. So, okay, I'm 34.
So right.
We're pretty close.
Right.
We're both Elise people.
And you're just looking back and you're like, is this all, like, is this what it is? Like, because you just go, it's like monumental steps to even do anything, right?
Yeah.
Or at least what you think.
The big change for me was I had met a girl. We ended up getting pregnant. I had a daughter that was born when I was 27. And I was standing in the hospital and I was like, oh my God, people are depending on me now. I can't be a selfish asshole anymore. Like, mm-hmm. it's not only about me now.
Right.
I felt like I got hit by a bolt of lightning right when I held her. I was like, oh my God, like yeah. this person's, these people are depending on me.
Yeah.
And it took a lot of self-reflection and like tough conversations to become a better husband. Mm-hmm. I wasn't by any means husband of the year. And we all go through these things in life, just like you did. You're really finding yourself, and not everyone finds themselves at the same pace.
No.
And now if you're adding fuel to the fire, you're going out every weekend, you're getting drunk. Maybe you're one of those guys who likes to stay up and watch the sun come up.
Right.
What? Like, be all, do you. Like,
right.
But it's, I'm telling you right now, it's not going to help your situation. It can make things worse. And you're just masking the issue. Like with the money situation, that was some of the most stressful times I ever lived through in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Like getting a collections agency calling you daily and you're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, man. You're like, I'm going to get my wages garnished.
Like throw my phone away here.
Yeah, you're almost like hiding. You're like, you're literally like, you feel like there's like a warrant out for you where you're like, I cannot escape this, man. Like, dude, yeah, it's a lot, man. Life is, and the more time goes on, like, I could not imagine living as a child or an adolescent in how the world is today.
Yeah.
Dude, I'd be done. I'd be cooked.
I think social media plays a big part in that because, like, even myself, like, for instance, like, I just sold a truck, for instance, that I really loved, like, for the better good of, like, my family and myself. And the thing is, like, sometimes I'll go and, like, look on someone else's social media and be like, oh, well, my life sucks.
Mm.
Like, this guy's got an F-350 with, like, a big lift kit on it. He's got, like, a Corvette. Here I am cruising around like a grandma car now.
Yeah, like, you're like, shouldn't I have, like, gotten to there? Like,
yeah, I'm like, and for instance, like, when I saw your podcast, I was extremely happy for you. I'm like, this is so cool. Like, he's doing exactly what I wanted to do. Mine didn't take off just because, like, I don't know any of the techie stuff. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not really good with, like, computers. I love talking.
Mm-hmm.
I could talk all day. I could talk to you for 12 hours straight if we really wanted to go nuts. But I don't think that's going to be beneficial for anybody here.
Yeah.
But, you know, just going off that, everybody has something that they need to do, and you got to go through those steps to get better.
Do you think you were a more approachable person after you kind of made that change? That's a big thing that I noticed. As soon as I got out of my own way, I like gave people a lot more grace in terms of like not being harsh on people or critical, or I used to be very like very like abrasive. Like people would come and I'd be like, you're a fucking idiot. You know what I mean? Or like the goal was of like, how can I make myself like feel or create this tension or weird where like, then once I got out of my own way and noticed like, this really isn't about me. Right. I became like a lot more approachable where I was like thanking people more, or I was like telling people like, hey, you did a good job. Right. Where that was like never like something that I like considered myself to be, because I thought it was like, that's soft. Right.
It's being grateful is one thing. Like I'm lucky to have a car. Like, look, I could be living in like Gaza right now, like with a building on top of me, like wishing I could just have some food.
Yeah.
Like, I'm extremely grateful for everything I have. I'm pretty, we'll say, blessed. Like, I'm blessed.
Right.
We're very lucky to be where we are right now, talking to each other. We're like, look at all this cool stuff you have, this cool show you have. Like, looks like you're doing very well.
And it could all be gone like that. You know what I mean? Right. So you have to really like cherish it, right? Or just at least not even cherish it, like you don't have to like glorify it like in a way, but you just have to have the consideration of like, yeah, like this is good and I need to treat it as such. And I, you know, when you get something new, you always watch over because you're worried it's gonna break. It's like that, but not as intensely. You're just thinking of it in the, it's just a little chip in the back of your mind where you're like, yeah, I'm really happy. There's still a lot more to go and there's still a lot more to do. But like, I still reflect on like the importance of like, you know, being where I'm at and like being grateful, right?
I see a lot more self-love from you. That's something I had a hard time with. I was my own biggest critic for a long time.
Yeah.
A lot of internal, like, bad self-talk. It's like, you're a failure. You're a loser. Like, look at this guy's going to the gym five times a week or twice a day. What are you doing? You're mm-hmm. falling behind.
Right.
And that's something, like, my wife actually helped me with. She's like, why are you so hard on yourself? Mm-hmm. She's like, you're a good person. Like, you need to love yourself more. And I realized, like, it's like you said in the comments earlier, like, where you were kind of abrasive with people. Maybe you're having a hard time with yourself and you didn't mm-hmm. even realize it. Maybe something happened in your life. I don't know if something happened in your life right. that maybe influenced this. Like, maybe, like, your grandma died, or, like, yeah. you crashed your car, or, like, maybe you shit your pants on the way to work. Right. I have no idea.
Right. And it's interesting you say that, because that's kind of how I explain things. Like, have you ever heard of the term Occam's razor?
No.
So Occam's razor is, don't attribute to malice of what you can contribute to, like, a simple thing. It's essentially like, if you hear footsteps, think of, if you hear hoof prints or like someone galloping, think of a horse, not a zebra. It's like, it's usually not what it, it's usually the simplest thing. It's usually like, this guy didn't walk through the photo you're taking because he fucking gave a shit about your photo and he was trying to, he was probably trying to get to an interview, or he's going to buy a brand new pair of shoes, or he's texting on his phone, or whatever it is, right? So, but how quickly people can be like, this guy's fucking me. Yeah. Where it's usually not. It's usually never the case that dude's fucking you. It's usually that dude's going from A to B and you're going from A to B. And unfortunately, like, and you just have to let that kind of, like, or people, like, cut each other off at the hendy all the time. It's like, dude, this guy didn't purposely see you and say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to fucking cut this dude off.
You literally just read my mind. I was going to say, because when you get cut off in traffic.
Yeah, they go, like, what the fuck?
It's like, piece of shit. Follow you down the road, pull a baseball bat out, try to crack you in the head.
Right.
It's like, maybe it's not all about you all the time. And we all as humans do that. Because mm-hmm. I'm only seeing from my perspective. Like, even sometimes, like, the way I speak. Like, I was talking with my wife one day and she's like, sometimes you're rude. And I said to her, I'm like, oh, I didn't even realize it. Like, maybe something that was more in the way I was raised, maybe something that was said to me, mm-hmm. I don't perceive as rude. And maybe she's just like, why is he like this? Or I don't know. Like, I don't see myself.
Right.
Like, you see me. I can't, like, I've seen you around. Like, for instance, I see you and I are very similar, because I used to get told, like, I know you like to chat.
Yeah.
You're a very talkative, hyper guy. I like people like you. We jive.
Right.
I was told, like, some people thought that I really didn't care what they had to say because I kept talking.
Right. And like, it's weird. And I think it's interesting to talk about that, because how quickly that comes off as like arrogance, or you're not listening, or you're annoying, or, you know, and in reality, like, your intention is nothing of that, but how quickly it gets attributed to, like, fuck, man, this guy just never shuts the fuck up, or this and that. And then you're kind of like digging yourself out of a hole that you never created. And you're like, no, like, that wasn't the case at all. And, like, now I'm trying to defend myself from something, like, I never thought I was in the first place. And it's very weird, because it's like, is that a me problem or is that a you problem? And, like, maybe it's both of us.
More than likely.
Right. Maybe it is I'm talking too much, but it's not. Maybe I just need to recognize when you're done listening to me. Yeah. Right. And I think there's onus on everybody, but it's very interesting where that personality trait is always seen as like something where you're like, you're wild, like you're off the handlebars, like you're flying off the hinges. Right. Where it's like, no, like, people can just be passionate about things.
That's
right?
What I think. That's what I gather from you. You're like, I don't know if this is going to hit the nail on the head for you, but if I'm not talking to you, that's usually a problem.
Yeah.
Like, I have nothing to talk about with somebody. I'm like,
that's a red flag.
This is getting weird. Like, I like to talk to people. If I find someone exciting, yeah. I want to keep, like, hey, what's going on with you? Like, what's your name? What's your dog's? Like, how much do you lift? Like, do you drive fast down here? Like, mm-hmm. do you like Tim Hortons. Like,
That's something that I had to learn myself, is to ask people more questions. Because once people would ask me something, it just became the Ryan show, right? Yeah. Where then people felt left out. Because, like, even to this day, like, and it's not out of, like, rudeness, but I feel like my brain just doesn't connect the dot. Like, someone goes, like, hey, how you doing? Good. I'm good. Or, like, how's the show? Oh, I'm doing good. And I never have the ink. And I feel like it's something that I'm still learning, but I never have the inkling to just say, you? Because it's like, and it's not out of rudeness. It's just, like, in my head, I'm just answering the question. But, like, I'm not, like, manufactured in a way that, like, I feel like that type of small talk is like, and again, this can, I guarantee to 90% of the people, this is going to come off as like rude or crass, but it's like small talk is just like, it's not, we could be talking about something else, or we could be talking about, and then, but if someone does get into a topic where they're like, oh, this is what I'm doing, and you can like get my brain going, it's like, by all means. But I don't need to know what you fucking ate. I don't need to know, like, that you owe a bill or you bought a new barbecue. It's like, dude, like, I came here to get away from my life, not take on yours, man. Like, and it's something where you kind of have to reflect and say, like, okay, at this point, am I being an asshole? Is this acceptable? Is this, like, do I need to just sit in this pocket and own it? Or do I need to step back and be like, all right, maybe I should be a little bit more like graceful with people and ask them, like, but then when I do that, I just come off as like disingenuous, where it's like, you? And then they're like, good. And I'm like, cool. And I'm just asking you because it's socially acceptable. And I feel like that's even ruder than to not even ask you, like, you know, because now I'm just playing into it. Now I'm just, what, I'm just wasting your fucking time now?
Yeah, it's sometimes almost better to not... If you don't really care, maybe it's better just not to even ask at all.
You know, but it's interesting because the more I learn and the more, like, I grow, the more I am to, like, receptible to hearing about that. Because there might be something where I see, like, a mutual benefit where it's like, oh, let's talk about like that. Oh, like, or, you know, I'm, like, asking people, I read something in the news and I'm like, oh, well, you know a lot about this. Like, talk to me about this, right? But...
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail? Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
I feel like people are very comfortable, like, just making noises with their mouth. And I kind of just sit back and go, like, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
Like, what's going on here? Like, do we, like, are we going to continue this, like, relationship outside of this workplace? Or am I just doing this to, like, save face with you? Like, you know, and I think that's kind of how my brain runs, where I'm more like, and this isn't to, like, sound pompous or anything, because it's not. But I think, like, I got shit to do. Like, I got things that are on my brain, and, like, it gives me anxiety if I'm just sitting here, like, fucking around. And it's like, dude, like, I could have, you know, did my schedule for the next month. I could have put in for a vacation. I could have done this. I could have checked, you know. And there's so many boxes in my brain that it almost gives me anxiety that, yeah, I'm like, fuck, man, like, what are we doing here? You know what I mean?
Yeah, worthwhile conversations are nice. And I had a really wise friend. I really admired this guy. He was good at everything, this friend of mine. And a very quiet guy, very intelligent. Like, so one day I'm sitting there with him, and he doesn't usually say much. He's like, he usually just listened to me talk and talk and talk. And he looked at me and he said, "Joe, you want to hear something?" I was like, "What's that?" He's like, "You know, you have two ears and one mouth for a reason."
Yeah.
And I was like, "Oh." I'm like, "Are you trying to tell me something?" He's like, "Well," he's like, "I do love you." He's like, "But not everyone perceives you like that. Some people think they take you as being cocky." And like, I perceive myself as like, I come off as a confident person.
Right.
And people can mistake that for being.
But it's like, whose fault is that?
It's just who I am. It's how
I'm right. But yeah, exactly. Like, so then I say like, well, that's not a me problem. Like, even I tell people at work, like, listen, if I could have adjusted this, I would have done it fucking 20 fucking years ago. Like, if you think there was something that I could have done to like tone myself down, trust me, like, I don't like the criticism. Like, I don't want people to tell me I'm annoying. I don't want people to tell me that I talk too much. And if there was something that I could have done to adjust that, be fucking sure that it's not like I'm just, but at this point, I just kind of know this is where I'm at.
So I have a question for you. How did you do during school ages? Like, were you a guy who was always chatting and like excited?
Yeah, like I didn't have many friends. Like, when I was in high school and shit, like, I wasn't a big, like, I worked in my school cafeteria. Yeah. Like, people probably thought I was like stunted in my like learn, like my education level. But it generally, like, I was more of like a tactile learner, and I was more like, I was doing in Nova Scotia, they had, it was called O2 Options and Opportunities. So essentially what the program was they tried to like line you up to go to like college.
Like co-op kind of?
Yeah. So like you would take more like you would take more hands-on courses. Your class schedules were different. You would get more like on the job training opportunities, because you, at the start of your grade 10 year, you would already know what you're planning on doing for college. So for me, it was culinary arts. So throughout the whole 3 years of high school, it was like, we're just getting you ready. And because you joined this program, that seat was saved from day one of high school. So as soon as you graduated, that seat was already saved for you. Oh. So you didn't have to go on a wait list or anything like that. And in my final year, I was like, I'm going to go to university. And everybody's like, nah, like, that's not a good idea. Because I just learned that, like, being in culinary arts, like, the money wasn't good. The schedule was grueling. You never made any type of money. The work environment was toxic.
So what is culinary arts? What is this?
This was a chef.
Like a chef?
Yeah.
Okay.
This was, like, to be a chef. But, like, all of my job opportunities, like, all of my on-the-job training was, like, working in kitchens or, like, and I just wanted to get hours, so I worked in, like, the school cafeteria. But people probably thought I was, like, lower functioning because I worked in the school cafeteria. Yeah. But I just, like, I just wasn't that person that just, like, shot the shit well. You know what I mean? Like, I just wasn't good. It was like I was in and out. Like,
you're missing social cues, maybe? Like, it's,
yeah, it just like time. I wasn't giving really people the space. Like, it was just like, it was, I was, and it wasn't like narcissistic. I just didn't have the ability to like read a room in a way, right? Where I was like, ah, like you didn't know, like, I didn't know if I was like someone's friend or they were teasing me, or like I didn't have a read of like, am I actually the butt of a joke? You know what I mean? Like, is this like people treat me like their friend, but I'm actually like, I'm thinking I'm laughing with them and they're laughing at me. So it was interesting. And that kind of like, I kind of came into my own during university, but it was still like the same trials and tribulations of like, I got onto the soccer team, but it was almost like a favor from like the coach I was getting trained from. He knew the coach of the so then I got onto the university soccer team, but I got no playing time. And then it was this big like, oh, like, am I as good as these people, and they just being nice to me because I'm on the fucking team and they really think I suck, and like, it's just like I'm just like this bastard kid that everybody had to accept. And like, you know, that was like my like mentality. But it was a lot of like victim blaming, where it was a lot of like, I'm just shouting into the heavens, like, why me? Why me? Like, why am I always, where I never really said, well, maybe I just need to work a little harder. Maybe I just need to stop like rolling in shit, yep. Right? Where it was a big like turning point for me when like I came out here and I faced like, you know, struggles in relationships and, you know, in the workplace, you're everything's so interconnected where, you know, you almost had to look at yourself and saying like, okay, is this like, is this a me thing or is this a them thing? And like, what do I need to work on? And where's just areas or people or groups that like, they just don't want me there, right? And am I just like fucking forcing it? I'm just digging my heels in the sand at this point, and like I'm getting tormented, but I'm almost allowing it because I'm not changing my own reality.
I think a lot of us face those similar questions, because I played on hockey teams all growing up, and sometimes I felt like I would set myself up to be the laughing stock of the team, because that's just the role I knew of being
a class clown.
Yeah, for like instance, like a bunch of my buddies took all my gear, hid all my stuff, and took all my clothes. So I'm running around like naked in the hockey rink looking for my stuff. And then there's my dad sitting there. My dad's like a pretty straight,
narrow dude.
Yeah, he's a smart, intelligent man, and he's just like, what the hell's wrong with my son?
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe he thinks like maybe my mom was taking Advil when she was pregnant with her. Is it
yeah.
Tylenol?
Yeah, that yeah, thing yeah, right yeah.
Now, like, she's like, he's like, oh God. He's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
He's like, why are you letting people do that to you? He's like, look at you. He's like, you're one of the most muscular, jacked kids around, but people are treating you like you're like a joke.
Yeah.
He's like, how do you see? Like, it really gave me some self-reflection.
Yeah.
And then at some point, I realized like I have to like smarten up here. I have to carry myself differently. There's always times to joke around and have fun, and there's a time to be serious too. Mm-hmm. And like, life's hard for all of us to navigate. And I wasn't sure if you're one of those guys who was like me. I had a hard time in school, like, because I really
loved social I hate music. It. I from my whole like public school was miserable. Like, I could not tell you a good time that I like actually enjoyed. Like, I was like a recluse, man. Like, I didn't fuck with no one. Like, I didn't date no one. I had no girlfriends. Like, I nothing, man. Like, it was like total like stalemate for me. Of like, I just didn't play. Like, I wasn't aggressive. I didn't fight anybody. Like, I wasn't like that. It was just like, I would just get in these situations where I just allow myself to turn into like the punching bag.
Oh, that's too bad. Like, you're kind of different than me then, because I liked it. Like, I enjoyed the aspect of socializing too much. Like, I loved everybody. I wanted to talk to everybody. And then I was actually distracting. They're like, you're a wonderful person. Like, I was told by many teachers, like, you need to start a radio show or talk for a living. They're like, because you are so distracting. Everybody wants to socialize with you.
Yeah, you're becoming like this, like, gravitational pull.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not easy for other people to be around sometimes. And that's when I've really been working on in my own life. And it was hard for me for a long time. Like, someone will be telling me something. I'll be talking to somebody. And it's hard for me to not want to interject. And I actually just did a course for my job here. And I'm still like that. Like, I find I was easier for me to learn if I'm asking questions and getting involved. And I have some people are sitting around there, like, looks like they're just waiting to leave. It's like, oh, when are we getting out of here? But I'm like actually genuinely interested in what the people have to say. But I have to be careful not to take too much of the spotlight. Because this guy's trying to teach a course. You're like, okay, guy, like, shut your mouth. I want to move on here. Other people have to take a lead.
Yeah, like, it's almost doing too much. Yeah. You're like, the intent is like, I get what you're trying to do. That's not the place. Yeah. And I was the same way. Like, I was the same way where, but I think that comes with like the self-awareness of like, if I was looking at myself, what would I feel right now? Cause like, I always tell people, even as a joke, I go like, there can only be one annoying person here and I'm the annoying person. There can't be two people that talk too much. So like, you need to fucking slow the fuck down. But it's when I look like, when I look about that, I go, that's probably what a lot of people think when they, so I almost have to take a step back and say like, the way I'm acting now, if I saw one of my coworkers or saw one of my friends doing that, how would I feel? And then you just go, all right, Ryan, let's just bring it back down to earth.
Does it amplify you more if someone else is like that? Like, do you try to overtake, like,
no.
Do you, or do you no. kind of like,
but I think off? It's come with like podcasting and stuff. Yeah. I think I've been able to have a better governor of like, this ain't about me. And I don't think I would have learned that if I haven't like done the amount of interviews and like just even just the amount of experiences or working in like the job that we work in terms of sometimes you get a way better outcome if you just shut the fuck up for 35 seconds, let this person fucking blow off some steam. Or even in my personal life, like my evening goes a lot better if I let Emily vent about her job.
Yeah, it makes her feel good. It makes her feel like you
and
care.
Instead of like pulling the old, oh, well, it is what it is. Because that's how I think. I like everything just rolls off my shoulder, right? So it's like I just don't like nothing really like I've had so much like turmoil in my life that it's like no amount of drama really like moves the needle for me. So it's like, dude, a car could just drive through this fucking apartment and I'd just be like, what do you do? It is what it is, right? Like I couldn't have controlled this guy driving through. What do you want me to do? Move my apartment to the other? Like there's legit nothing I could do, right? But sometimes it's just easier to be like, yeah, like I could understand how that would piss you off, right? Yeah. Like I don't have to be like the arbiter of truth in terms of being like, ah, yeah, because it's not a big deal for me. It shouldn't be a big deal for you. And now like we're just creating this, but it's still something I work on to this day. But in all of these like social awareness things, like it's a sliding scale. Like some days I do way better than others. Some days I tank. Like some days I come home and I go like, man, like I really just did too much today and I kind of have to come back to work the next day and be like, man, I really kind of like stirred people up or like I just didn't give really people the time of day or I fucked around too much. So like tomorrow I kind of got to come back with like a different level head, right? So, but as long as you understand, like it's learning, like you can't always sit there and say like, I have to fix this now. It's like sometimes like, you know, falling on your face is the best, like the best way to learn, right? Mm-hmm. But it's a learning phase, right? It's always a learning phase. I don't think it's ever going to be something that I'm going to have down pat. I think it's just going to be something that I just work with. I try to knead the dough and, you know, kind of do what I can and take those experiences in stride. But, you know, Don't get me wrong, like when people still call me annoying and shit, it's still kind of like, ah, right? Yeah. Like it's still one of those things. Or when I put my fucking transcript for review and it's like, you talked way too much and you're like, man, again, like,
that's okay.
But again, it's something where you kind of just have to be easy on yourself, right? Just like you allow people to have like the dignity of like, okay, you're allowed to like make mistakes and shit. It's like, yeah, me as a person, I'm also allowed to like make mistakes and fuck up. And, you know, it's just what we do after the fact.
That's how you get better, failing forward, right?
Yeah.
I kind of learned something similar from when I went back in from the episodes that I had shot with the two co-hosts that I did. I realized I'm like, whoa, I'm dominating the conversation a little too much. And I realized like the one co-host would be like in the middle of an explanation.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail?
Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
And I would kind of jump in and interject, and I was like, oh boy, I probably should let him finish what he was saying. And even just like throughout different types of learning I've done, reading, and something becoming more humble for myself, actually. The best thing I've ever done for that, actually, was jiu-jitsu, strangely enough.
Yeah.
Because I started to learn, like, the importance of learning from other people. And another gentleman that you've actually interviewed before introduced me to this sport when I was going... I was trying not to say his name.
Oh, he's been on like three times.
So. Oh, okay. I love him to death. And I actually praised him the other day. He got his black belt. Like, congratulations to him. Well deserved. At one point, he kind of saw me. He was another friend who approached me. He's like, man, like, he said that we had a conversation out. And he's like, I couldn't comprehend one thing you said. He's like, are you okay?
Yeah.
And this was after like my incident.
Right.
And it was really nice of him to notice. He's like, man, I really think you should give this a try.
Yeah.
And he started kind of teaching me upstairs. And when I first met McLeod, this is when I was in like my prime of like steroid use. And I remember like looking at him like, that dorky little guy, like, he can't beat me up. Like, I'll see red. He's going to hit the ground. Like, I'm going to run through a wall.
And
like,
then you train with him and the guy has you in a pretzel.
That's exactly what happened, actually.
Like,
I'm like,
and you're like, uh-oh. Yeah, I feel like a fucking idiot.
I was like, I'm the Incredible Hulk. Like, that ground stuff, that's bullshit. Like, what's that? I'll just kick him. And, and then so we go upstairs, we train, and then he's destroying me. And I got, like, actually addicted to this. Like, I was like, oh, my God, I need to learn this. So I ended up actually starting at another gym. Got a membership, started training, and it was an extremely humbling experience because, like, at this point, I started meeting, like, professional fighters.
Mm-hmm.
And I got introduced to another really good friend who's been a good influence on me, and he's, like, he was an ex-champion in the city here for Unified.
Right.
He won the light heavyweight championship, and I was, like, for another thing for, like, life growth and something I've really found to be beneficial for me, I'm, like, I want to do what he's doing. And I said, how can I get to know this guy to make me better? Like, how can we help each other?
Mm-hmm.
So I started teaching him about, like, bodybuilding and nutrition. And he got really, he's actually a lot more advanced than I am now. He goes to the gym, like, every day.
Mm-hmm.
He's jacked. But, like, it was so humbling for me. And then I realized the importance of listening. Jiu-jitsu actually taught me, like, you need to listen to the, like, because the one instructor, he was a very good jiu-jitsu practitioner. He's one of the best that come out of Canada.
Right.
And he asked me one day, he's like, or he had mentioned to another person, he's like, is that guy always, like, is he guy on meth or something?
Yeah.
He's like,
everybody accused me of being on coke.
Yeah.
They're like, same are thing. You on,
like,
coke?
Is that guy, like, always on drugs? They're like, he just is so hyperactive, he doesn't stop talking. He's like, he's almost unteachable.
Mm.
And I was like, oh my God. Like, and I remember, like, referencing back to him later, and he's like, yeah, like, we were all, like, genuinely thought, like, you were messed up.
Yeah.
And I was like, I apologize I came off like that. I'm like, I just found this so exciting. I thought you people were, like, the coolest people in the world, and I just wanted to be part of your group. I was like, I didn't know, like, I didn't pick up on those cues.
Right.
But, like, having those people in my life was so amazing. And then another tragic story to this. I had another injury.
Mm-hmm.
So one day I was at my job, just, like, walking around. We were wearing, like, helmets and, like, gear. And a chunk of the ceiling while they were doing construction, it fell off and hit me on the top of the head.
Right.
And what happened was I herniated two discs in my neck. And so I ended up seeing a specialist. They had me in the neck brace. Mr. McLeod took me to the hospital, and he was very concerned about me again. And so I meet up with this spinal surgeon specialist. And he said to me, he's like, looking at your scans here, and my hand was actually stuck like this, like in a claw. And I made the joke. Is first thing,
like,
I said to
nerve?
It was a lot of nerve damage. So I said to the doctor, I was like, man, am I going to be like this forever? Because, like, I think because my wife might not. I'm just joking around.
Yeah, but
like, I don't think she's going to be, like, dating Dr. Claw here. And my wife laughs about that. She's like, I'll never leave you. Don't worry.
Right.
And he told me, this spinal surgeon told me, he's like, I'm going to fuse your neck and you're never going to train again. Yeah, that was devastating for me. And that threw me into another fit of alcohol abuse. And I started doubling down on my marijuana intake.
Because you're smoking. Like, here it goes again.
Yeah, and I was in so much pain. And they gave me painkillers. They gave me these oxy, whatever they were.
T3 codeine.
It was a little more powerful than like, whatever yeah, above that.
Like hydro.
Yeah, something
hydromorphs.
Like that. And I had a really good friend actually die from high school. I went to from abusing these drugs, and he was like one of my best friends. I just remember seeing him on these, and he's. It was actually like sad, and seeing him actually like, I'm like, man, I never want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It was sad to see him. And so they gave me these drugs, and I've sworn off these drugs. So I actually got the prescription for marijuana. But then I realized I was smoking like
all the time,
like 7-8 bong hits a day.
Yeah.
I'm like a zombie in my house. I actually feel bad. I have a little kid at home, and like,
yeah,
I was like, oh my God, like, I don't want this to be the influence my child sees for mm-hmm. me. I mean, like, look at my dad. My dad, like, and then when she gets older, she's like, Oh, well, my dad does it, so I can do it too. Like, I have no, like, when
you're 18, like, resent you for it or something. Yeah. Where it's like, oh, my dad's just like a fucking, you know,
lazy pothead.
Yeah, just yeah. a skid.
Yeah, I don't want to be that guy. And, like, I have no issues. Like, marijuana is another thing. Like, not abused. Like, you do you. Like, I have no problem if someone goes outside and smokes a joint. But I just realized for myself, and this has been now, I've been, like, on a 3-week stint here. I actually went through some, like, serious issues. I wasn't sleeping. I actually lost, like, I was 215 pounds, about, like, 188 now.
Mm.
I just, no appetite.
Right.
Continuously getting a dry mouth. And then I get an email from Aurora. Like, this is the medical company. And interestingly enough, like, I'm part of a lawsuit if I'd want to be to sue this company.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going through all these symptoms, like cramps, sweating. I'm like, oh my God, I have all these.
Yeah.
Like, crazy. But anyway, so I've been refraining from that. And back to the jiu-jitsu story. So I end up being off for 6 months.
Yeah.
So I'm back to abusing alcohol, depressed. And then finally, I have another meeting with this surgeon. I've been doing physio for...
Dog. This dog.
Ralph. Man.
Just barking at the world. That's continue.
Cool. You can edit that out.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So I finally am able to go back to the surgeon. It took about 6 months just to see the surgeon. This is the second surgeon I've seen in my life for my spine. And luckily enough, I had sciatica in my back from the back injury from squatting.
Right.
And I've already gone through this. I'm like, I can beat this. Like, I can go back. I'm not letting them fuse my neck. I refuse. I'm like, you're not fusing my neck, man. I'm like, I'm going to get better.
Because it's like, that's it. Like, yeah. Once they do that, that's...
You're done.
Yeah.
Like, you shouldn't be training with a fused neck. You can do disc replacements, all kinds of interesting right. things now. But I was like, all I had the light at the end of the tunnel. I'm like, I'm going to get there. I'm going to go back to the mats. I'm going to get back to the gym. That's all I was thinking about.
Right.
So finally, I go up to the surgeon, and then I begged him to let me go back to work. I know most people would have been like, why didn't you sue these guys? You should be off forever. And I'm like, the amount of money that was offered to be on like covers for the rest of my life, I'd be like, you can't live off that.
Yeah, you'd barely be making it. If not, like, you know.
Yeah, not for me. So anyway, luckily enough, I got
here
back.
Here you are.
I got back, and then, oh, crazy. So I get back for about a couple of months, and then I tear my meniscus.
And it's like, fuck, man, I can't fucking win.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know what it is, like Murphy's Law. Have you ever heard of that? Yeah. Like, anything go wrong is going to go wrong.
Yeah.
But something I've learned, though, like perseverance, man, I can do and beat anything I set my mind to.
Yeah.
And it's really hard when you're down in those places. I just realized for me, like, I was like, I'm not going to drink anymore.
Now, is that a mindset thing? Like, what is it? Like, because sometimes it's like routine. Like, people need routine.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's mindset. Sometimes it's whatever. Like, what exactly worked that was like that kind of fixed it, right? Or kept you on the right track?
Having a goal. And I learned something very interesting. And I'm a huge fan from bodybuilding, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to listen to like motivational talking. I'm like, I got to clear this negative mind space I have. Like, this is terrible the way I'm thinking. And he said something really cool. He's like, if you're going to be on a ship and you have no destination, the captain doesn't know where he's going, you're just going to drift around going nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did, even to get myself out of debt, for instance, back to that $130,000 of debt I had,
mm-hmm.
I actually wrote down the amount I owed on a piece of paper, and I started devising a plan. Like, what can I do to get out of here? So I called like a company to consolidate debt. Mm-hmm. I got to fix this. Like, same thing with my neck. I now I'm debt free. Like, I don't own, I own a mortgage, mm-hmm. like regular bills, like right. most people.
Yeah.
I was like, I got to get out of here. So I've started learning to implement plans and setting goals.
Right.
I was like, I want to get back to the gym. Even now that my knee surgery's been on, like, I just did knee surgery. I'm out for another 6 months. I was like, I'm going to get there. Yeah, I will get back. I overcame a neck injury that they told me I would never recover from.
Right.
And here I am.
Yeah.
It can happen for anybody. And yeah. I just listened to this. Actually, there's a fellow on the one podcast I was listening to. He was saying, like, if I come in like a white jacket and I tell you, it's like, you have this disorder, you will start to actually believe you have this just because someone's telling you. Mm-hmm. It cannot even be true.
Yeah. Manifestation.
Like, yeah. I actually, you can manifest anything. It's like, you imagine yourself being successful in what you're doing right now. I'm sure you manifested a lot before you even did it. Mm. Like the studio.
Yeah, it's like visualizing. I'll actually like sit here sometimes and just like pretend I'm in it. Just because you have to like, and like to build on that, a lot of people don't understand like the importance of like identifying as things. Like the first time you do a podcast, you're a podcaster. So it's not like, it's not this thing where you have like this like internal like battle of like, am I not, am I good enough? It's like, no, like, okay, you acted as a supervisor once, okay, you've done the role. Like, there's no, so I think that's also important too, to get ahead of yourself, right? Because a lot of people, they have like a hard time in like giving themselves that credit. And again, it's a dangerous game, right? Because you can go way too far, you can get in over your head, taking on shit that you can't do. But it's having that balance with that self-awareness to say like, okay, like I gotta reach into my mental cookie jar and give myself a pat on the back, right? And then other times I need to be a little bit more hard on myself and say like, okay, you could have done better here, you could have done better there. But it's that idea of you have to really dig deep and you know filter out the noise, because a lot of what people do in the world, a lot of what you see, a lot of what goes on, like, it's not in your favor, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of things aren't in your favor in terms of like things aren't setting you up for success, like, and so you just have to recognize like, okay, is this good or am I getting fucked? No, is this good or am I getting fucked? Is this person here, or like, is this person doing this for our best intentions, or like, is this a long game? Is this guy trying? And that might be a little bit like of paranoia maybe, but it's healthy, right? Like, it's healthy to read into those situations sometimes and say like, all right, what am I doing here? Like, is this healthy for me? Am I going to these for like the right intention? Am I showing up because I want like some like praise or acceptance or, you know, shit like that, right? But I think it just comes down to like what people's intention are. And like, without going in too deep, like, I think people just need to find out like, what am I trying to do here, right? And what are the requirements to do that? So I needed to decide, am I willing to meet the requirements and fulfill that feedback loop? And if not, then I can't bitch about it. Like, if I, for example, I always tell people at work who want to like move up, well, there's a certain level of like politics and this and that that go into it. Okay, well, if you're not willing to buy into some point of these politics, the feedback's there. You see people that do it and they get rewarded. So who's the idiot, right? When you turn around and you say, ah, it's this guy because he doesn't like me and this guy did this and this guy did that. Well, the blueprint's there. It's there. It's you see it time and time again. So you either need to decide whether or not you're going to buy into that blueprint, or you just need to accept the fact that you weren't willing to put yourself in that position, right? But 100%. It's hard truths that people need to have, right? Where people just need to go, yeah, I wasn't willing to like sacrifice like my like reputation, like my social circle, or I wasn't willing to sacrifice the time it takes or whatever it is, right? And it's unfortunate, but the quicker you can go and say, well, I just wasn't willing to do X, Y. I was willing to do X, Y, but I wasn't willing to do Z. And that's kind of not where, why I'm not there, right?
I'm a kind of like a prime example for that. I'll call myself like the comeback kid. I had a really bad reputation for a long time within the workplace. Mm-hmm. Like, not that we're getting touched.
Yeah.
I don't really talk about work. But I'm a living example. If I can do it, anyone can do it,
man. Yeah.
Like you are capable of anything. You just got to set your mind to it. Is it worth it to you? What's your goal? What's the outcome you want?
Yeah.
Like, do you plan on doing the same thing forever? What do you see for, like, what's the benefits of doing what? Mm-hmm. Like, for me, I want to do something less to make the same amount of money,
mm-hmm.
not waste my whole life being somewhere.
Yeah.
I have more important things for me. Like, I have a little girl, and she's wonderful. She's getting older. I want to be home for that.
Yeah.
My dad told me, he's a very hardworking man. He came to visit me once, mm-hmm. for instance. So my dad and I are sitting there. It's his last day, and I couldn't get the day off. So I said, oh, don't worry. I'll call in sick. He's like, you will not call in sick. And I said, oh. He's like, you're not going to call in sick while I'm here. Mm. He has that old school mentality.
Of like, you go to work.
He's like, people are depending on you.
Mm.
He's like, what the hell are you doing? I'm like, but you're leaving. He's like, so? Doesn't matter. He's like, you're going to go to work. And I was like, okay, so... That's what I did.
Hmm.
And I learned through like people like my dad, my mom. They're hardworking people.
Right.
My mom is a very successful person in her workplace. She was the director of an old age home.
Right.
So I was like, wow. Like, I used to see someone slash my mom's tires.
Yeah.
Because she had to fire someone because they weren't doing a good job.
Yeah.
I saw what she went through. She would come home. She had two cell phones. Her father had just passed away. My grandfather, he committed suicide. And my mom was trying to save his life. I feel bad for bringing that up on the air. It might infringe on her personal things.
Right.
But she didn't deserve that. And people didn't realize what she's going through in her life. And she's having to rip back and forth to work, answer phones. People don't care about her.
Yeah.
They treat her like she wasn't even a human.
Yeah.
It was like, you have to do everything for us.
Yeah.
And... I just seeing examples like that, like how they were and like the work ethic. It's like people don't realize other people suck. You don't see, I don't know if you just said this, but it's like you don't see the full iceberg from the top.
Mm-hmm.
The success is underneath, and the biggest part of the iceberg is actually under the water.
Mm-hmm.
People don't realize that. They don't see the sleepless nights you had, dinners missed with family. The list can go on,
mm-hmm.
but it's even for you. Like, how many interviews do you say you've done now?
This will be 67.
So you've done 67 interviews.
Yeah.
And I'm sure not all of them are successful.
No.
And I'm sure there'll be more in the future that aren't. We were talking about this thing of failing and getting better from it.
Right.
And you're a prime example of that. People are just like, oh, this guy's show, great for him, cool. Like, but they don't see like what you went through, the costs you put in, the work, maybe times that you argued with your girlfriend, mm-hmm. because... you're putting so much time in this with all your passion into this. Maybe it's costing you money. People don't see that.
I think the thing is too, like, it's easy to find the lowest hanging fruit to say that was the issue instead of saying, yeah, I just didn't really show up. Yeah. And I think that's what I learned through work from like not getting like the type of treatment that I thought I deserved. And then again, you look back and you say, well, it's not really about me. Like, it's not everybody's thinking about you all the time. So you have what's for your best intentions, but they also have what's for their best intentions. Mm-hmm. And you kind of need to reroute your brain in a way and say like, yeah, it might not be favorable for me, but I have to understand like the entirety of these circumstances and go like, maybe I just like fell to the wayside and like I'm just not doing enough that everybody else is doing that wants the same goal, and I can't look and say, ah, it's because I talk too much and this and that. It's like, sure, but there's probably a lot more that I could be doing to make myself favorable. I just need to either be willing to accept that and move on, you know? Or, but it's like this idea of playing the victim. It's like, that's what people need to get away from, of going like, oh, why me? Why me? Why me? It's like, people forget about people all the time. And you kind of just have to, even you tell people like, yo, they don't hate you because they hate you. They hate you because like the position you're in. Like whether that be a clerk somewhere or whatever, a manager that you couldn't do a refund or something. But then how quickly people like attribute that. And it's not to say that what that person's behavior against them is okay, but it's like, that's out of your control. Like people are gonna suck everywhere. There's gonna be people that suck. And you kind of just have to go, yeah, I'm just gonna make this like the best situation. I understand that like not everybody's thinking like I am, but I'm not always right all the time, and like I have to be willing to accept that. So again, it's a sliding scale. It's a sliding scale of being able to look at yourself and say like, okay, I'm gonna be the bigger person today, but then the next day you go, oh, I actually screwed up today and I have to go apologize to someone. And it's like, both are okay. Like both are okay. There's nothing wrong with having the humility. Like you don't always need to be the superhero.
Yeah.
Like you can turn around and say, yeah, I really fucked that up.
I've had so many conversations like that. The stories for my behavior, like a story of me going to Vegas. Mm-hmm. This was when I was in the drinking still.
Right.
So I had a very unsuccessful World Masters tournament. This is a prestigious jiu-jitsu tournament in Las Vegas. It's like one of the best tournaments in the world.
Right.
So I went there and I didn't prepare. Mm-hmm. Like I was skipping classes and not showing up. And the people that put in the work, the cool thing about individual sports, you have no one else to depend on or blame but yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's what I always liked about bodybuilding and jiu-jitsu. Like I like the combat sports because like it's a pure reflection of your preparation.
Right.
But not always. Like, things happen. Like maybe you get sick, whatever. Like
an injury or whatever it is.
Yeah. So I had one of those hard conversations with my coach, because after this big loss, there is a big fellow on my team, and he's just a natural athlete. This guy's a beast. I call him like little Brock Lesnar. Mm-hmm. He's a really good guy, but he can really throw back the beers. So I did this. I was really bummed out. I start throwing back beers with him, and I went out with one of the owner, the coach, his protege is like a really high level jiu-jitsu guy. So I guess I had got blackout drunk, started talking about like one of my dreams in my whole life that I never really did. I always wanted to open like a gym. Mm-hmm. And like I always have aspirations maybe later on to open a jiu-jitsu gym and pass on knowledge to kids. I always wanted to maybe move home and do that, or I don't know where life will take me in the future. So what I was doing was I started getting drunk, talking shit. I was like, man, you should move out with me and we'll open a gym. And like, I wouldn't let it go the whole night. It was actually, it was kind of like a laughable thing that became like the guy, like they said to me, like, man, like.
It was like embarrassing.
It was like, man, like, shut up.
Yeah.
Like you're making an ass of yourself. Even my wife was like, you should be quiet. And I didn't even realize, I was so drunk and disgusting that I didn't even realize what I was doing. I think I drank like 20 beers that night, man. Like maybe more. Like, and I just remember waking up on the floor in Las Vegas with puke all over the toilet. Like I'm laying on the ground. I'm like, oh, so hungover. Like I missed a team dinner. They're like, where are you? Like, dude, what the fuck? People are like, should we send a search party over this guy? Is he dead? Like. Mm-hmm. And then I ended up coming back and I noticed that the professor, I felt like there was a little change in the dynamic between our relationship. So I was like, oh, wow. Like, what did I do? Like, so one day I decided to come in a little early and I went to his office and I knocked on the door. And I'm going to like keep names out of it.
Yeah,
I said like, hey, and I jokingly, I call him Master, which is kind of like, it also I didn't know it was insulting until you become a master of that sport.
Right.
So he's like, don't call me that. And then I'm like, oh, okay, professor, like, you know, so-and-so. And I said, do you mind if we have a conversation for a second? And he was kind of like, I don't really want to talk to you, buddy. Like, you're a retard. You're trying to poach my best student who teaches, like, classes here. Like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
So I said to him, I said, I really owe you an apology. And I could see he kind of lights up a little bit. And he's like, for what? And I was like, well, my behavior when we were that's not a good representation of your gym. That was completely disgusting. Mm-hmm. I said the way I was talking and, you know, trying to like jokingly but also seriously asking the other person to open a gym with me and move away from me after all those years of relationship you guys have. I said that was completely inappropriate of me. Mm-hmm. And I've had to do this with so many people in my life because of like self-inflicted self-humiliation that I've done to myself. And like, that's not who I am. Mm-hmm. I don't want people having that perceiving me like that. Or they're like, ooh, this guy. Mm-hmm. Like, ooh, like we don't invite him anywhere. Like there was a lot of times I didn't get invited to different group events from friends I have because of like the people's wives would see how, like the person's wife saw how I behave and she's like, yeah, you can't invite him.
Yeah, I don't want you anywhere near this guy. Yeah, you almost become like a plague.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, this is gonna bleed into everybody or like. Yeah, and it's hard to get out of that because like getting that type of attention is like it's addicting, man. It's but again, like coming back to it, like being able to look at that and have like the reflection to say like, yeah, that wasn't, you know, but then if you repeatedly do it again and again and again and again and again, it's like, well, where's the learn, right? Like it's hard, man. It's a difficult game of like living with yourself and playing into your own character, but also, you know, measuring that and saying like, what's too much, you know, how much is too much, right? And it's something that people always have to kind of consider and learn about themselves of saying, okay, where am I at here, and kind of do these check-ins where they're like, how am I feeling today? Am I feeling a little bit like over the moon? It's like, okay, well, this too shall pass. Am I feeling shitty? All right, this too shall pass. Like everything's gonna always, like you feel very accomplished. Okay, it's only a matter of time before you don't. And you kind of have to be ready to deal with all of the shitstorm that comes with it of saying like, you know, not taking your highs too high and not taking your lows too low.
Yeah.
And, you know, but it's, again, it's something that everybody has to find out what works for, like what works for me or what I'm willing to accept is going to be totally different from what. So people really need to like look inward and say like, how did that make me feel? Like I always tell people if they come to me with a fuck up, I always go like, did you feel embarrassed? They go, yeah, I felt really embarrassed. Okay, remember that feeling. Let's just try not to like recreate that feeling. Like the feeling of being embarrassed, like, yeah, it sucks. But it's like, now you know what that feels like. So now you know, like, okay, I can't put myself back there. That didn't feel too good, right? But it's like, you kind of have to be willing to work with it, right? And like accept it, but also like find a way that works, right? But yeah, it's a crazy world, man.
We're all human, man. We all do things we regret. It's how you bounce back from it. If you're not willing, like earlier, if you're not willing to look in the mirror and take accountability, do you even want to fix the problem? Like,
yeah,
a lot of people don't.
No, and I think a lot of time too, like this idea of self-awareness is not like that important for people. Like I feel like a lot of people, they live life outwards, right? And considering that is painful, and people don't want to feel that. So they don't want to feel their money problems or their physical problems or their relationships with friends. Because like I said, it's like a monsoon. It's like, well, if I address one thing, it's like, well, then it's like, well, I'm in debt because I got a gambling problem. I got a gambling problem because I get shit-faced drunk. I get shit-faced drunk because I'm trying to impress my friends. I'm trying to impress my friends because I hate myself, right? Mm-hmm. And then it's like, well, where do you even start?
It's like, man, I don't know if you watched that Netflix documentary of Charlie Sheen. Like,
yeah.
Oh, my God. I was like... Here I'm thinking, like, I live a wild life, and this guy is like, I was banging 7 gram rocks. So I was like, oh, yeah. God, that's insane. Like, look at the hole like he dug himself into, and he's actually sober now, I guess. But like, look at that guy can come back and from that. Like, you're very capable of coming back from anything. And people, you know, like the way I think about it, people want to like people. Like, I've always like known that about myself. People want to like me. It's like I was sabotaging things on my own.
Yeah, you're shooting yourself in the foot in a way.
Why?
Like, yeah.
Why bang your head off a wall and hurt yourself?
Yeah.
Like, so I found, like, I finally was able to get tools to become better. I would definitely recommend, like, when people are on the, like, the path to, like, recovering and trying to fix their life, whatever that may be, maybe, like you said, you have that gambling addiction. You should definitely try to read information and, like, try to surround yourself with positive people. If I know I'm, like, an addict to some kind, and I come over and I know that you're also maybe in the same kind of boat as me, I might have to refrain from spending time with you.
Yeah.
It's not about hating somebody. It's like, you know, I love myself enough now that I need to realize that this is a toxic relationship we have here. We're always getting each other. Like, I still love you. Mm-hmm. You're great. You have many great qualities. You're like, you could be a great human being. But I found, like, once I stopped being involved, like, once I wasn't on the bar scene anymore, like, I found, like, eventually a lot of those people actually remove themselves from my life too.
Yeah, like, they don't, it's not like a thing where they're reaching the olive branch saying, hey, how you're doing. It's like, oh, you're not gonna meet me here, all right, now you're dead to me.
Yeah,
right.
Like, you don't see those people anymore. And I remember my brother's dad, he was another guy who was telling me about, he's like, you know, because he was actually telling me he was, like, proud of me for how I am. And he always suffered with alcohol issues. Like, he drinks a lot.
Right.
Like, not the, like, he's not a bad guy or anything. He's just doing his thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what he does. And he said, like, you know, you're doing a good job. And he's like, you know what, though? You can find drinking buddies anywhere.
Yeah.
He's like, there's always someone who's going to want to drink with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay. So if you want to continue to live like that, there's always going to be buddies to drink with. There's always going to be buddies to do gambling with. There's always, and then there's the, on the other end of things, there's always going to be buddies to do positive things with. Like, for instance, I was telling you about Dave.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, you should come try this. And now, like, I find myself, like, if I don't go to that gym, it's like my new fix.
Right.
I'm like, oh man, like, if I don't go there, like, I'll be in a shitty mood. Like, if I don't lift weights, I still, like, continue to weight train, but nothing like before. Like,
right.
I do it just to be healthy and kind of feel good. Like, I don't need to squat 500 pounds anymore.
Right.
Like, I just want to be healthy. I don't want to get injured anymore, to be honest.
Yeah.
So it's who you circle yourself with. Like, you want to be around, like, for instance, like, I was like, hey, Ryan, would you mind taking the time to show me the podcast world, like, how you operate, how you do things? Like, I found it so interesting. I was like, wow, this guy is so organized. He has a really good thing here. And right. Like, if I'm going to do something, like, why would I go to someone who I know is doing the best job they can do? And, like, maybe I can benefit you some way.
Of course.
And, like, you're giving me knowledge. So, like, right now I look at you as, like, my black belt that I'm going to for podcast, or maybe you consider yourself a brown, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm like, this guy is the dude. I need to listen to what you have to say, and I can get a lot of knowledge from you. And it's really nice of you to take your time and share with me. And, like,
yeah. And it's always a reciprocating thing. And I want to express my gratitude for you coming on and, you know, sharing your story and, you know, using this platform to, you know, provide some level of, you know, actionable insights for people and, you know, these stories of resilience. It's a huge testament to, like, your willpower and, like, your wantingness to succeed. And, yeah, I'm very, very grateful that you allowed me the opportunity to sit down and have a conversation with you. And I hope that we as a network here can do what we can to propel you into doing your own thing and, you know, figuring out what works for you and giving you the tools to succeed. Because the idea of this show is generally to champion people and, you know, make sure we're you know, putting an effort into providing other people with success and using this as a positive form of, you know, reinforcing people that are doing good shit, yeah, instead of it being like a conveyor belt, if you know what I mean. Like, I don't ever want this to be like a conveyor belt of guests where it's like, well, one guest in, one guest out, one guest in, one guest out.
Yeah.
It's like, it's we here on, like, as a studio, try our absolute hardest to champion every single person that's come on the show, and we continue to do the same with you. Just to kind of give this a nice little wrap up and bow, if this is what people are hearing and they haven't listened to the episode, what do you think you'd want people to take away from this episode?
I just really want people to know that you need to learn to care about yourself, and if you're ever feeling down or whatever, just there are outlets to go to for help. You find yourself dealing with any type of abuse of, like, whatever, like I talked about, steroids or the weed, or like there are options to get better. It's a tough road, but you can get there,
right?
And like I said, I appreciate your time. Mm-hmm. And maybe one day, if you want to get in, I would be more than willing to share some humiliating and funny stories maybe from my past, that if you want to do part two one day, anything, man, I'm more than happy to share, because me putting that out there is lets people see that we're all human. We all make mistakes, and you can get better. Mm-hmm. You can do anything you put your mind to, and don't let people tell you no when you want to do something. I knew I'd get back on the mats no matter how injured I got. Like if I was paralyzed, I'd go sit on the side and watch, like, mm-hmm, anything just to get back there, because that you have to do what makes you happy, and it's like what you're doing. You're doing what you're passionate about. It's really good to see, and thank you.
Yeah, thank you. With that concludes another episode of Solo Spotlight. Don't forget to check out our channel, like, subscribe. Once Joey gets his podcast up and running, we're gonna have all of that into the descriptions. Look through our social networks, and if you're looking to support us in any way, a like and a subscribe and a share goes a long way, and we appreciate you for coming out for this conversation, and we will see you next week.